Riders up!
This is Riders Up with Frank Lyons and John Gaver, your one-stop shop for all the information that you need. Let's get this party started. Here's Frankie.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? John, you good?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice to be here on ESPN Sports Radio.
So today we're going to talk Eclipse Awards. We're also going to do a top 10. We're going to talk about who deserves the top awards in our business, in the horse industry. And both human and equine, I think. And this year we got a few things to talk about, John.
There's a, you know, the trainers race will be tight.
Yeah.
What
about jockeys?
Jockeys, I would say Jose Ortiz is probably one of the leading candidates there. Mike Smith,
yeah,
the venerable, has to probably be considered in there as well. You know, human and equine, there are some tight categories.
Tight categories. It's more controversial than you might think. But before we get to the Eclipse Awards and those horses that deserve the top honors, we got the news from Milena. Milena.
Frank, thank you. John, good morning.
Morning.
This week in our Thoroughbred headlines, jockey Jose Ortiz Jr., a top candidate for the Eclipse Award as North America's outstanding jockey, will undergo minor knee surgery on December 5th and miss at least 6 weeks of action, according to his agent, Jim Riccio. He injured his left knee in a spill at Belmont Park on September 20th, which forced the rider to miss a week of action. The goal is for Ortiz to return to race riding in time to ride in the $16 million Pegasus World Cup on January 27th at Gulfstream Park. Trainer Dale Romans took sole possession of the record for the most wins by a trainer at Churchill Downs when two-year-old Storm Runner annexed a maiden allowance race at the venerable Louisville, Kentucky racetrack on November 12th.
Storm Runner, three-length lead. Forgotten Coast to clear second now. Time is running out, though. It's Storm Runner in front, still clear. Forgotten Coast, clear second. Beckham's Joy is third. Down to the finish, Storm Runner. And a milestone win for Dale Romans. Four lengths on the wire.
The win gave Romans his 703rd victory under the Twin Spires, surpassing trainer Bill Mott, who has 702 Churchill wins to his credit. It's truly an honor to stand here as the all-time leading trainer at Churchill Downs, Roman said. With everything I've done in my career at Churchill Downs and around the country, nothing beats this moment right now. Hall of Famer and two-time Breeders' Cup Mile winner Lure passed away on November 15th at the longtime home of his owner and breeder, Claiborne Farm, due to infirmities from old age. The son of Danzig and the Alidar mare and deer was 28 years old. In just his third turf start, Lure won the 1992 Breeders' Cup Mile at Gulfstream Park in course record time by three lengths over future champion Paradise Creek.
They have to catch Lure as they turn for home. He spurts away from the field by four. Luthier Enchanteur is now running second, 49er Days. Arazi does not have it. Paradise Creek on the outside. Lure running a huge race this afternoon. He's in front by four. Brief Truce is coming fast, but he's coming too late. Lure does it in front running style. He won by three.
He finished his career with 14 wins and 8 seconds from 25 career starts and lifetime earnings of over $2.5 million for his owner and breeder, Claiborne Farm, and trainer Shug McGahey. Robert Courtney Sr., who for decades bred stakes winners off his Crestfield Farm near Lexington, Kentucky, died on November 14th at the age of 96. Courtney bred the multiple Grade 1 winner Fit to Fight and the multiple graded stakes winner Hasty Flyer, both of which were out of the mare Hasty Queen, for whom Courtney paid just $11,000. He also played a key role in the formation of Fasig Tipton's Kentucky sales operation by getting 10 investors to ante up $100,000 in the early 1970s to start the auction house. And in today's racing, the field for today's $100,000 Grade 3 Cardinal Handicap at Churchill Downs in post position order from the rail outward is as follows. Lovely Loiry with Fernando de la Cruz. Tricky Escape with Chris DiCarlo. Rat-a-tap-tap, ridden by Joe Rocco Jr. La Piba, ridden by John Court. Weep No More with Robbie Alvarado up. Coco Channel, ridden by Julie Burke. Bowley, ridden by Corey Lannery. B Rocket, ridden by Alex Canchari. Linda, with Brian Hernandez in the saddle. Fair Point, ridden by Tyler Gaffaglione. Reyes Ispa, ridden by Julian Leferu. and Doña Bruja, written by Ricardo Santana Jr. And that's all for today, gentlemen.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Milena. Some good news, some bad news there. Robert Courtney was a character. I used to know Robert Jr., and Robert Jr. would always be saying that he would always be, you know, he had a lot of admiration for his father, and but he had some great stories too. And apparently the old man was full of spit and vinegar, and, you know, he'll be sorely missed.
I mean, to have bred not only those Fit to Fight and the other horse out of that mare that he purchased for $11,000. I mean, there were like several others that out of her, which is kind of like his foundation broodmare, is amazing. Pretty astute horseman for certain.
And fair play to Dale Romans. Congratulations, Dale, on being the all-time winningest trainer at Churchill Downs. And I think that that's probably going to go on for a long time.
That's going to be an ongoing battle. You know, I don't think Bill Mott's going to be hanging it up anytime soon. And I am sad to hear about Lure. He was one of my favorites.
I
was there
as well.
1992 Gulfstream Park Breeders' Cup course record time. Yeah. I loved him. One of my favorite Claiborne horses of all time by the great Danzig out of an awesome broodmare sire in Alidar.
Yeah.
He was a great. A great racehorse. Rest in peace.
And he was infertile, right? As he did breed a couple of mares the first few years. He actually was the sire of a champion two-year-old in Ireland called Orpin.
Yep.
I believe he was champion two-year-old anyway.
I remember the horse and, you know, had some problems at stud duty, but, you know, he was an awesome. I mean, he was a stakes winner on dirt as well.
Sure.
Just really blossomed for Shug McGahey on the grass, one of the top milers I've ever seen in person.
Yeah, absolutely. And ridden, of course, by Mikey Smith, who is still around and still riding, booting home Grade 1 winners.
Yep. Mm. In the running for the Eclipse Award this year, I would say. You'd have to give him a long look.
Absolutely. So we're going to go off to a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into talking about the Eclipse Awards. All right. Welcome back to 1300 AM ESPN Radio, Riders Up, here with John Gaver. I'm Frank Lyons, and John, we're going to talk top 10.
Top 10.
The final top 10 of the year. I think this is going to be the final one we put together.
I would say so. The racing year coming to an end pretty quickly. Got the Eclipse Awards around the corner, so good time to tally up that for the last time in 2017.
So we give the top award, of course, to Gunrunner, as we should and as we will. You know, a deserved winner. But again, Arrogate, you know, with the start of the year, are we going to forget about the start of the year? Because Arrogate has like 7 million in earnings. Gunrunner's got like 4 or 5 of this year alone.
Right.
And, you know, he won the Pegasus easily, won the Dubai World Cup easily, second in the Pacific Classic. Are they going to forget about him? Or is it going to be closer than we think?
I don't think so.
No.
I think the Eclipse Awards traditionally have always been kind of what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
The Breeders' Cup always has a you know, a square play on the voting for that by the NTRA and
sure.
the turf riders from the forum and whatnot. So I think that based on the body of work from the summer onward from Gunrunner, he will win it convincingly.
Well, I would agree with you, but I, you know, I don't think that we should forget about what Arrogate did for us, because it too much of a "what have you done for me lately?"
It is, and you know, maybe it shouldn't be, but I mean, people will look and see that they, you know, they hooked up in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and you know, Arrogate had no answer for him.
Right.
I mean, he was a machine. But I agree with you. Arrogate is I want to see his babies. He's such a well-bred horse.
Sure.
And, you know, such a great physical specimen. You know, there's a lot of upside to him and, you know, whatever, 17 plus million in career earnings. You know, you hate to forget about a horse like that. And, you know, I just keep seeing that Dubai World Cup race over and over again. One of the most remarkable feats in horse racing that I've seen in the near future, in the recent future, rather. So, you know, he's awesome. I hope he has a great stud career.
Yeah, as we hope the same for Gunrunner. And, you know, every horse goes for a stud career, I wish him all the best. Because if it doesn't work out, you know, like, you really don't have much to do with the horses, you know. Like, if they don't turn out a stud, they don't have a great life, as good a life as they could.
Right, right.
That's what I hope for them all.
Absolutely. And Gunrunner still got one more dance to dance before he heads out to Three Chimneys, I believe. Is that where he's going to stand, I think?
I believe so.
Aren't they? I'm pretty sure they're in partnership with him and Winchell and Don Alberto, but I think he's going to stand at Three Chimneys. We'll have to maybe check on that. But He's going to be, I mean, who's going to beat him in the Pegasus? Notch on another, you know, whatever, $8 million in career earnings there for him. You know, that's a $16 million pot. So he's a machine.
A machine. So number one, Gunrunner. And number two, I put Arrogate because, again, like, we can't forget what he did.
I agree. I have him in the same spot. I mean, you know, his whole body of work as a three-year-old was amazing, and I know the voting's about this year, but, you know, he's a superstar.
Superstar.
And, you know, maybe that the Breeders' Cup isn't at Del Mar, you know, this year, you might have had a different answer.
You know, I don't know about that, but because of the way he ran, he didn't really show, you know, he showed kind of it's time to quit.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, debatable for certain, you know.
Of course.
But, I think, I'd like to see him have another crack at a track that, that he, gets a hold of a little better.
Yeah. Well, I would, too. I definitely, I put it out there that it could be an excuse to Del Mar surface, but I think it's more, I think it is a little bit to do with the Del Mar surface, but I think it's more than that, you know?
Yeah, he didn't blossom like Gunrunner did post Dubai, you know, for whatever reason. You know, I'm not around the horse every day. That's something that even Bob Baffert couldn't decipher, you know, looking at him every day in the stall. So,
exactly.
You know, sometimes, you know, it's a real head scratcher to see a horse kind of tail off that much.
Yeah.
You know, where he was just had bankrupt in the stretch, had nothing. You know. You know, two out of his last three starts.
Great memories with Arrogate, and the last couple of races, not so much, but fair play to Arrogate. So number three, I put Collected.
Sure, I agree. Have him there as well. I mean, what a nice horse. Yep. I mean, he's only been beaten one time over a fast racetrack, and that was by Gunrunner in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Ran a huge race from the
outside post position.
Yep. From the wide post draw, he's got a high cruising speed. He's a nice horse. Definitely deserves to be in the top three. Arguably could be second.
Well, that's true. And Collected is staying in training, right?
Collected is staying in training, I believe, yes.
So number four, who do you have at number four?
I put World Approval at number four.
You know, I was tempted.
He is clearly the best miler in North America.
Yep.
What a great job Mark Cassie did with that fellow. Kind of once they turned him back in distance, he and put the blinkers on, I believe, he turned into a machine.
I put Forever Unbridled at number four, just because undefeated season, won the Breeders' Cup, like a very nice filly, and beat Songbird, although it was Songbird's final race. And, you give Songbird an excuse for the race. Obviously, she had an excuse, but nevertheless, Forever Unbridled is the winner of that race and won the Breeders' Cup Fillion Mare Classic, so I'll give her number four. Number five, I just had to put Lady Eli because she got banged up in the Fillion Mare turf. She got eliminated going around the first turn. And you got to forgive that. And I think that she is an amazing story for horse racing and life in general.
Yes, I mean, well-documented story for certain. I have her on the list down a little bit. Yeah. She got cut up pretty bad in that race. I saw that they kind of took her out of the sale here. And she'll be back. I think she's in the Hillendale consignment a little later on. So, kind of got banged up there. I put Forever Unbridled in that slot because, like you say, great campaign this year, well managed by Dallas Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
pointing in training for the Pegasus Invitational.
Yeah, that's right. Which is very interesting because my girlfriend was asking me, well, would Forever Unbridled have a chance in the Pegasus? And I thought about it, and I would say yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
I don't know. You know, it's still a little early, I think, to see, you know, what kind of slots have been, you know, gunrunners going in there. I saw on the forum where they're pointing the mare there for that race. But, I mean, she's got a great late kick and, you know, that distance right in her wheelhouse. So get a little pace to run down. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, if you look back on the form, remember Beholder when she won the Pacific Classic a couple of years ago and just demolished a good field. And, you know, Forever Unbridled isn't in the realm of Beholder quite yet, but she's not that far off of it. And the filly facing the boys for the, I believe it would be for the first time.
I believe so, yeah. Yep.
We'd give her a big chance. At number six, I put World Approval for the same reasons that you did, but I put him down a little lower than you. Who do you have at number six?
I had Lady Eli in there, you know. How can you not?
Yeah.
We're going to miss her. What a great mare she is.
At number seven, I put West Coast. I think he deserves a mention. He's the top three-year-old in this country off of two Grade One wins in the Travers and the Pennsylvania Derby, third in the Breeders' Cup Classic. It's amazing that I said to you before, we don't get even, there's no mention to the Kentucky Derby winner, Always Dreaming, no mention to the Preakness winner, Cloud Computing, no mention to the Belmont winner, Taprit. The three-year-olds fell a little short last year, but West Coast, I used them in the Breeders' Cup Classic because I thought that maybe if there was an upset possibility that West Coast was going to be the horse, and he didn't run a bad race.
No, not at all. I have him there as well. He's we were talking a little bit about it before the show started. You know, I think pro tem wise, he would have to consider him the top 3 year old in the country. Kind of came around, yeah. Blossomed at the right time in a division where the top candidates were pretty much beating up on each other all year round. It was really hard for me to wrap my head around who stood out.
Sure.
In the sophomore Colt division this year. So, you know, I would say that, West Coast is a design, Eclipse Award champion for three-year-old. I'll go out on a limb and say he's got a good shot at that, even though he did not win the Kentucky Derby, didn't win the Preakness, mm-hmm. or didn't win the Belmont.
Yeah. The other horse that I think that would have a chance of the Eclipse Award, but I believe the West Coast will win it, is Oscar Performance.
He's got a certainly, arguably, had a great year, unfortunately, maybe not so much with him. Well, people will remember kind of that Breeders' Cup effort and the one prior to that, but, he's a nice horse that certainly deserves consideration.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been the forgotten,
absolutely,
horse because he's a grass horse.
Yeah, yeah. At number eight, I put Roy H.
See,
you've been looking at my top 10, haven't you?
No, I haven't. I really wanted to put Imperial Hint on this list as the sprinter, but I put Roy H in there as well. So, beat him head to head. And on a day when Dre Fong didn't exactly show up,
You
could actually make a case for him as well.
Yep.
It's hard to kind of knock a horse off of one race.
Mm-hmm.
But that effort in the Breeders' Cup sprint for him was a real head scratcher.
Yeah.
Really disappointing.
I'd never seen a DeFrong that looked like out of the gate that he was beat. He never showed much energy. Really didn't show. It ran a race like Arrogate did.
Weird, just kind of flat. It'd be interesting to see, how he came out of that. A little blood work, maybe, mm-hmm. scope. I don't know exactly what the excuse was that day, but he's certainly a better horse than what he showed on first weekend in November.
Well, I actually put him at number nine because of the dominant sprinter that he was up to that point, and I can always forgive a horse for one bad race. Unfortunately, it looks like Del Mar is his kind of setback a little bit too, because he dumped Mike Smith there the last time he ran at Del Mar and then showed no run in the Breeders' Cup. But his wins, other than that race in the Vanderbilt, wasn't it? He was phenomenal.
Unbelievable. You know, he's very fast and, you know, very consistent until that day. That's why it was such a, you know, head scratcher, yeah. Very puzzling effort for him. I've got Beach Patrol in that spot.
Yeah,
you got to have a Chad Brown model on there somewhere. Sure. After the year he had. What a great year of training multiple stakes winners all over the country for Chad Brown. But Beach Patrol, certainly one of the top distance turf forces in this country, if not the top. Great effort in the Breeders' Cup turf, and a very consistent horse as a three-year-old and a four-year-old.
Sure. Winner of the Secretariat and the Arlington Million. That's not too often.
That's a tough feat to pull off. Yeah. Those are both really tough races.
Yeah. So I put Chad Brown at number 10 also with Good Magic.
Good Magic. I mean, that's a lot of upside to him, right? Yeah. I mean, broke his maiden in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, $1 million auction purchase. You know, be interesting to see how he progresses down the Kentucky Derby trail.
Yeah.
In 2018.
And there was a lot of horses that I thought about to put on the top 10, like Songbird, Beach Patrol, Lady Aurelia, Unique Bella, and more, but there's only 10 spots, John.
There's only 10.
Yeah.
There's only 10. A lot of European horses, you know, that could merit consideration, but this is a North American poll.
So. That's right. Exactly. Now, speaking about the North American and Chad Brown, and who do you think is going to be the Eclipse Award trainer of the year?
Wow, it's going to come down to three people, I think. Chad Brown, who you mentioned, Steve Asmussen, mm-hmm. and Bob Baffert. And it is a... tight, I would say. You know, you could make a case for Steve Asmussen.
Yep.
You know, pits at a 20% clip, has about 1,800 starters a year,
mm-hmm.
and managed Gun Runner to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Baffert won countless grade one races all over the country.
Six grade ones with six different horses, six handicap horses. When six grade one wins with six different handicap horses. That is incredible.
Unbelievable. And then you got Chad Brown, who kind of, you know, a little bit proved himself to get out of the, I guess, the dreaded Christophe Clement Billmont, labeled as a turf trainer kind of moniker, by winning the Preakness,
sure.
with Cloud Computing, and winning a huge dirt race with Good Magic on Breeders' Cup Day. So, all three of those jokers have a good chance.
Well, you know, Bob Baffert has $20 million. Chad Brown has $24 million this year. But Bob Baffert has just started 272 starters. Chad Brown has 736 starters. And Steve Asmussen has 1,657 starters. So, I mean, I don't know if that means anything, but...
I don't know. If you put a gun to my head today, I would probably vote for Bob Baffert.
Oh, well, I would too.
So. In a tight race. I mean, they all of them have legitimate credentials to win the award. But I think based on the, you know, just the managing of the so many good horses.
Sure.
And I mean, it's no coincidence that those three guys probably arguably have the best stock in America in their barns, right? You know, I'd give it to Baffert.
Yeah, I would give it to Baffert, too. We're going to go off to break here now for a minute on ESPN Radio, 1300 AM. We'll be back to talk more Eclipse Awards. Welcome back to WLXG 1300 ESPN Radio, Riders Up. Alongside of John Gaver, I am Frank Lyons. And before we went to break, John, we were talking Eclipse Awards. And we were talking about the jockeys that are up for the Eclipse Award, or who do you think will be the Eclipse Award nominations as far as jockeys are concerned?
Jose Ortiz.
Okay.
Mikey Smith.
Okay.
And there's got to be one more in there, doesn't there? I mean,
Johnny Velasquez,
Solano, Johnny Velasquez, off a nice Derby win, good Breeders' Cup day, and just great rider all around.
Well, you know, I don't believe that Javier Castellano will be among the nominees this year, because he's won, I believe, the last four Eclipse Awards.
Yep.
And, you know, the kind of people are going to be thinking, well, if we can
spread the love,
then we're going to spread the love. And there is not really much of a reason for Javier to be in amongst the Eclipse Award winning riders this year, because, you know, I don't believe he's had as good a year as he's had in the last few years.
Maybe, and I don't think as good a year as the top two, you know, have had. The Jose Ortiz and Mike Smith. I don't know. That's a tough one, kind of splitting hairs between those two. You know, Mike Smith with limited mounts wins grade ones left and right, and Jose Ortiz does the same and is like riding 10 a day. So, yeah. You know, it's a tough call for certain.
I would myself give it to Mike Smith this year, because we're not going to have too many more years to be able to give it to Mike Smith.
Yep.
And with the year that he's had, and a phenomenal rider that he is, I think that Jose Ortiz is going to have a lot more years. That's not a very fair way to you know, choose a winner, but I believe that Mike Smith would be where I would go.
Right. I guess if you broke down the numbers, I don't have them in front of me, you know, I would say that, you know, Jose Ortiz is more impressive, but,
yeah,
you know, he rides a lot more horses,
yeah,
a lot younger than Mike Smith, certainly. And, you know, you're right. It's probably not fair to give the award that way, but I agree with you.
Sure.
You know, that kid's going to have many more. He'll have plenty of those in his trophy,
sure,
case before it's all said and done. So, you know, and longevity's got to count for something. So I agree with you with Mike Smith for the Eclipse Award for leading jockey.
Yeah.
And outstanding jockey, sorry.
Well, the two Ortiz boys have been a story unto themselves. What a phenomenal job that they have done to come to America and become two of the top five riders here, year after year after year, get the riding titles in New York. And I take my hat off to the Ortiz boys.
No doubt about it. The deepest colony day in and day out in horse racing. And those guys have had, you know, multiple, many win days,
sure,
throughout the year. It seemed like for a while there, it was like Jose Ortiz was knocking out four or five a day. And
yeah,
probably we'd be remiss not to mention Jimmy Riccio, who is his agent, has, mm-hmm, done a great job. That's no easy feat.
Mm-hmm.
Fending off. I know you got like your choice of mounts, but he's done a good job managing that kid's career.
And so now an easy question for you. Who would you give owner of the year to?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, who would be in there? Judmont Farm, Winchell, Thoroughbreds.
Yeah. Head of Plains Partners, I believe, would be in there.
Yep.
Maybe Gary and Mary West.
Yep.
Frank Stronach.
Kind of the usual suspects.
Usual suspects. And I'm sorry if I've forgotten anyone. But I think that Judmont would be in the pole position, because they have accounted for, and I know it doesn't matter because it's just American awards, but it certainly is going to help when Judmont have done as well in Europe as they have over here. I believe that it's going to alter the minds of the voters a little bit, because, you know, they had Enable in Europe this year, Horse of the Year in Europe. They won the Oaks, the Ark, the King George, the Pegasus, and the Dubai World Cup, among many other races. So I would give it to Judmont this year.
Yeah, I wonder how many times they've won that award. I'd be curious to, I'll have to look that up,
yeah,
later. But they they would probably be, 9 to 5 morning line or so, maybe, to win that award. Winchell, Thoroughbreds, they have a lot of nice horses.
Yeah.
But, Gunrunner, certainly the marquee attraction for them. And the same with Gary and Mary West. They, you know, buy a lot of horses,
yeah,
at auction, and have supported the game for a long time. And it was nice to see kind of West Coast,
yeah,
come around for them. But Judmont would, I would say, knock that one out.
So we'll both go for Judmont in that category. Now on to the Eclipse Awards for the horses. Horse of the Year, obviously, is Gunrunner.
Yep.
The Champion 3-year-old, West Coast.
Yep.
Champion 3-year-old filly.
Abel Tasman,
yeah. She, 3 grade ones during the year. Second in the filly and mare classic.
Ran a great race.
Great race. scared the hell out of me because I had pick four going to Forever Unbridled, and I was going to put in Abel Tasman too, and I decided to go for, who did I go for? Stellar Wind, yeah. Stellar Wind, and it was looking a little shaky turning for home.
that filly is, apparently just has a really cool filly to be around, laid back disposition. And
you're talking Forever Unbridled?
I'm talking
Stellar
about
Wind.
I'm talking about Abel Tasman.
Oh, Abel Tasman, yeah.
Won the Kentucky Oaks, and, she's had a great year. I think that, certainly it'd be the top candidate to take the three-year-old filly award.
He also had Caledonian Road, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. And then during the year, he also had Salty. And he also had a horse called Klimt, who's a grade one stakes winner, I believe.
That's correct.
Yeah.
He's a
phenomenal year for Quality Road.
He gets runners. I mean, they had multiple surfaces, distances.
Yeah.
He's a good sire.
Yeah. So, champion sprinter that will... if you win the Breeders' Cup, is it almost a stamped Eclipse Award for you? Well, especially if you're a two-year-old.
I think there is, unless you had, I guess, some monster that reeled off about four or five grade ones and somehow missed the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, right.
I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah. So you would say that Roy H. will be the champion sprinter?
Yes.
Yes.
Edging out Dre Fong and Imperial Hint.
Yeah.
But, he beat those two horses on the square on the day, so you got to at least give him an edge. And he's a nice horse. I liked him a little bit in that race. He's a nice horse. Yes. Very fast.
Sure. Now, the champion of filly and mare, that is obviously Forever Unbridled.
Yep. Exactly.
Champion two-year-old, Good Magic.
Good Magic. You can make a case for Bolt D'Oro, I suppose.
Yeah.
You might be able to make a case for Sporting Chance.
That's true.
But I think, Good Magic will probably get it.
Yeah, but probably that's leaving it up in the air. You're right about that. Who would have thought that Bolt D'Oro wouldn't be champion two-year-old after the front runner?
And I guess, still could be.
Still could be, because he had a legitimate excuse.
Yep.
He was 14 wide going around that first turn. He was and closer to the outside rail than he was to the inside rail.
Yeah, ran a great race. I thought, in retrospect, in the juvenile, and he had a big reputation. Ran some pretty big speed figures, both Ragazin and Buyer figures, like the second coming of Swaps out there. So to see the horse, the pictures of him anyway, and on TV, man, what a nice looking, what a nice-looking horse that carries, fine flesh, was in great shape. Got to give the trainer credit there. Medaglia d'Oro, he'll be all right, down the line, I think. Only get better.
Well, sometimes it's best not to have that Breeders' Cup Juvenile on your back, because there's very few Breeders' Cup Juvenile winners have, I believe, Street Sense is the one that would come to mind right away, but there's been...
kind of a curse to win there.
Yeah, it has been for many years.
So, I don't think... running third in there, for Mick Ruiz is probably fine. It'll say, he'll have... get the winner off. He's still got some growing to do. He'll be all right.
So long as those two horses stay sound, Good Magic, trained by Chad Brown, Bolt D'Oro, trained by Mick Ruiz, we got a great... three-year-old matchup, East Coast, West Coast, next year.
And I think maybe you throw in a Ballydoyle runner in there in U.S. Navy Flag, who I think is actually going to point for that race, and ran a huge, I thought, on the day.
Since they added blinkers to him, he's been a different horse.
They are pointing that joker, I believe, for the Kentucky Derby, so I don't know how he's going to get there.
Yeah.
But he is a nice horse as well to kind of keep on the back burner.
Very, very nice. I actually thought that the race was over when he broke on the lead and he was going down the back.
Couldn't believe he broke on the lead.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe he got out of the gate that quick.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen an Aiden O'Brien horse on dirt or turf in this country get out of there with that much zest, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And where did he finish, by the way?
I think he was like third in there. I got the chart around here somewhere.
He backed up. if you tell me he was third, I would be shocked.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He was 10th.
10th.
He was 10th. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. And but, like, he
but he went 22-4 and 46-3 in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, backed it up for certain. But I kind of like that horse.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yes. I would give him a, well, yeah, we'll give him a, he's a nice horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see how he develops.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, champion two-year-old filly. This is interesting also.
I mean, do you give it to Caledonia Road as the Breeders' Cup victress? Or, you know, I guess you could make a case for Moonshine Memories, who had a pretty good year for Simon Callahan.
What about that Separation of Powers?
Separation of Powers would be the other one.
Yes.
I would think that you throw in there. Yeah. You know, so I don't know. I mean, Caledonia Road was such a shocker on the day, you know, not to take anything away from her win. I don't know. I'd kind of like Separation of Powers a little bit.
Separation of Powers beat Caledonia Road by like 3.5 or 4.5 in the Frisette.
Correct.
So, you know, that's a grade one also, but the grade one Breeders' Cup
will carry a little,
a little more weight.
Yeah.
You know, it was only the filly's third start. So I think that...
I'd probably vote for Separation of Powers, but I think maybe Caledonia Road will get it.
And it'll be great for Ralph Nix also.
Yeah, definitely so.
Champion Turf Horse, world approval, no doubt.
No doubt. I guess you could make a case for Beach Patrol, but I kind of like the Milers a little better.
Yeah.
You know, I think that division was a little tougher, actually, this year than, you know, than your true route, you know, mile and an eighth, mile and a half turf horses. So, yes, world approval.
Yeah, world approval. Beach Patrol, well, you know, he's worth
a... Be in the running for certain.
Yeah, I mean, a huge mention. Talismanic, is that the horse's name?
Yeah, that won the...
Andre Fab's horse that won the...
Yep. Turf.
Won the turf. He's by Medaglia d'Oro out of American Magic Mission, and I believe the Magic Mission... Well, Neil Drysdale used to train her... And she won the yellow ribbon at Santa Anita, I'm sure. And I'm almost sure that she won a stake down at Del Mar. So that was one of the reasons why I used Talismanic. He deserves a mention also, but it'll just be a mention because World Approval has that one wrapped up. His last three runs have been phenomenal. He'll stay in training.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Pretty sound horse by all accounts. You know, he's only, what is he, four?
Is he four?
Going to be five. Yeah, he's four, going to be five. Got plenty of racing left for him.
Huh. I would have thought he was maybe a year older, but that's nice to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll be salty next year as well, I would say.
So, did I forget any Eclipse Awards?
I think we got it covered pretty well. We got, what about the, there's the female sprint division. Which is kind of an interesting, like a Unique Bella, I guess, takes that one down. Female turf horse, Lady Eli, I would suppose, would be your ringleader there. Other than that, I think we got it pretty much covered.
I think we did. Lady Eli, I would imagine, is going to get the Eclipse Award. I wouldn't think that they would give it to Wuhida, but they may.
I mean, they could. For certain, you know, and there's this, I guess, Grand Jeté has had kind of a tough luck year a little bit, but is a nice filly that, you know, kind of merits consideration. I don't think she'll get it, but, you know, I think Lady Eli, given her reputation, will take that down.
I mean, that was the only time in her life she did not finish in the first two.
Yep.
And she got beaten and battered to make sure that she didn't.
Yeah, legitimate excuse.
Legitimate excuse. So, let's go off to break then. Now on WLXG 1300 ESPN Radio, you're listening to Riders Up. Welcome back to ESPN Radio 1300 AM, Riders Up. Alongside of John Gaver, I am Frank Lyons. And what's your favorite moments of this year's racing?
There's a few of them.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, the most visually impressive performance, there were several, you know, Arrogate in Dubai stands out, yep. Gunrunner and at Saratoga, all of those starts, and the Breeders' Cup stand out. But I think Forever Unbridled's win in the Ogden Phipps
beating Songbird
was the most impressive race I saw visually this year, where she just, like, I mean, Joel Rosario never touched her. She was like rolling like an express train, just to see her kind of get her belly dirty and level off like that and beat such a high caliber mare and Songbird was awesome. I thought that was a pretty spectacular effort by her. I also thought the development of Imperial Hint was pretty cool to watch, going from like an optional claiming 25K race, you know, into one of the top sprinters in the country was a pretty cool story for kind of blue collar connections. Yeah. And then finally for me was Peter Miller's reactions on Breeders' Cup Day.
Yeah.
What an awesome kind of assessment of what it's like to be involved in the great sport of thoroughbred racing, just wearing his emotions on his sleeves. And I know, you know, we've both made that trek to the winner's circle before with horses that we've trained, and it's a great feeling. And it was pretty cool to see him that genuine in front of a big audience. Hopefully it'll attract more more people to our sport.
Well, do you know where you can see that reaction yet again?
Where's that?
If Peter Miller has a winner of the Maiden 20 today.
Yeah.
every time.
I mean, it's, you know, I get it. You know, there's it's pretty cool to see, though. I thought that was, and it was cool to talk to him last week. Seems like a pretty genuine guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, what an awesome day.
Yeah. Lovely, lovely guy Peter is. And, so, not too many jobs that you could think of where you could have that reaction when you have success.
Not at all. And I saw another clip, I think, on Twitter of Dallas Stewart and Charles Fipke when Forever Unbridled was making that move, and it was kind of like, you know, you remember the Carl Nafsker and Francis Genter exchange with Unbridled. You know, it wasn't
going to win the Derby, Mrs. Genter.
It wasn't that dramatic, but it was still pretty cool to see, and the both of them kind of trotting down to the winner's circle afterwards. You know, it's there's a lot more downs than ups. That's for certain in this game, but it's, you know, the highs are awesome. There's nothing like it.
Well, my favorite moment of the whole year had to be Arrogate in Dubai. That was just one of the most phenomenal performances I've ever seen or ever will see.
Right.
And
couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so I'll give him the favorite moment of the year. Well, that's it, folks, for yet another week. Enjoy your weekend and the best of racing luck to you. And, John, thank you very much.
Always glad to be here.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care. Everyone. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.